We are featuring some of the most mysterious, monstrous, mythical creatures during this morning show. We're going to focus a little bit on the Loch Ness Monster right now, which was brought to the world's attention back in 1933 after a guy named Robert Kenneth Wilson had a picture that surfaced. The shot was called the surgeon's photo because he, I guess, refused to have his name associated with it at the time. Since then, hundreds of sightings of the Loch Ness Monster has been seen in the lake. In fact, a video was taken a couple of years ago that some people say was the strongest evidence to date. Adrian Shine, a naturalist, is with the Loch Ness Project and has been leading field work and expeditions into Loch Ness since the early 70s. And we are lucky enough to have a couple minutes with him. How are you, Adrian?
Hi, good morning.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the Loch Ness Project is? I guess to start off, that's kind of your main job, right?
Yes, it is. I set up or started to do little expeditions of my own to the Scottish Lochs with monster traditions back in 1973. And things grew around me, and I can say now that over 1,000 people have helped one way or another in what we do, which is basically studying Loch Ness mainly from every point of view we can. That's biological, physical, and of course the mystery, to see if we can make some sort of sense of it. And part of my job also is to design the public exhibition in Drumnadrochit, the Loch Ness Centre, where I'm speaking to you from now, which is on the Loch side. And so I put all my toys, when I'm finished with them, into the exhibition here.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the Loch Ness Lake in general that might be able to equip something like this, why this particular lake might stand out and why there could be a monster living in it?
Well, the situation is that Loch Ness is a long, narrow, very regular lake. It's very deep, and it lies within the Great Glen of Scotland, which you can see on any map cutting diagonally across the Scottish Highlands. So it lies within probably the most prominent geographical feature of the British Isles. At one end you've got the highest mountain, Ben Nevis. At the other end you've got the greatest lake, Loch Ness. Now Loch Ness contains more water than in the whole of England and Wales put together. It's got a depth of 754 feet, which is, well, it's almost at the top of the Chrysler Tower in New York, you could say, before you get to the, the pedestal on the top. So you're talking about a great deal of water. In fact, you could put every human being into Loch Ness three times over. So there's certainly room for mystery. Now, the other parameters are not so favorable from the point of view of Loch Ness monsters because the rocks surrounding Loch Ness are very hard, ancient rocks, and they yield very few chemical nutrients, the essential fertilizers for the little microscopic plants we call algae, which are at the base of the food chain. So there isn't much algae for the little plankton, the animal plankton, to feed on, and hence not much for the fish to feed on, and obviously then not much for monsters to feed on. In fact, we think there's only about 20 tons of fish in Loch Ness. Now, that's an argument against the being a resident population of large predators in Loch Ness, a resident viable population, that is, you know, a breeding population that was sustainable. Our thoughts of late have turned to the River Ness, which connects Loch Ness to the north through the city of Inverness to the sea. And all the fish we have really in Loch Ness, almost all of them, have arrived by that river from the sea because the other freshwater fish haven't yet made it up to Scotland, if you like, after the last ice age 10,000 years ago. So we've been colonized from the sea, and it's possible, just possible, that creatures unusual to Loch Ness might on occasion come up the River Ness. Salmon come up to breed, you see, and there are other examples too which are just possible, like sturgeon. There are a lot of sightings. There are over 1,000 sightings by people who are sober, people you would trust in your everyday life. But there are lots of illusions in Loch Ness as well. Boat wakes are probably the most important because they give a multi-humped appearance, a bit like a sea serpent. And there are other causes of error as well, like boats, water birds, even swimming deer have been suggested as alternative explanations. And so I suppose the basic paradox is that over 1,000 honest people insist they've seen large, unusual creatures in Loch Ness. And these are people you would trust in your everyday life. And that's how we conduct our lives, interacting with people and trusting them generally. And yet science, which underpins our society, our technical society, has not produced conclusive evidence of monsters.
There was a video taken a couple of years ago, I guess by a guy named Gordon Holmes. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what you found out about it as you researched?
Certainly. It's a wake, or appears to be a wake, of something moving subsurface. And initially, I thought, well, it could be some small creature swimming in Loch Ness. There was another wake close by. But what it didn't have was the V shape, you know, a boat wake or the wake of something moving through water, actually leaves two arms of the wake, one towards you, one away from you, and it didn't have one away from you. And so we thought of alternative explanations. And one of the alternatives is a downdraft of air. You see, the hills surrounding Loch Ness make the wind very fluky. Very unpredictable. And sometimes you can get a downdraft of air which causes something very much like a wake. So that is a possible alternative explanation.
Well, we do thank you a lot for your time this morning. Again, we've been talking with naturalist Adrian Shine from over there in Scotland. What's the weather like today?
It's dull, but it's a lovely autumn day with lots of colors as the leaves are falling, and I expect it's about the same with you, isn't it?
Yeah, just getting into fall here. Actually, we're getting kind of an early winter spell here. Been kind of down into the teens. Do you guys, how cold do you guys get in the?
Well, it can be about minus 10 centigrade sometimes.
Yeah. Well, we do thank you for your information. Sounds like you're doing some real interesting work up there. And
it's kept me busy.
Yeah, I guess that's all you can really ask for in life. We do thank you for your time. And again, we've been talking with Adrian Shine from the Loch Ness Project in Scotland. Good luck with everything, Adrian.
Thank you.